Cloud computing is big business in the United States. Huge data factories litter landscapes from Delaware to California, buzzing with the details of customers from all over the world. But could the plug be pulled on some of the servers? An agreement that allowed major technology companies to send personal data from the European Union to the US has been ruled invalid. The European Court of Justice decision is a result of a legal challenge brought by Austrian privacy campaigner Max Schrems. He argued that the deal allowed social networks and other firms to give Europeans' personal data to spies from America's National Security Agency. He said the ruling meant the Safe Harbor Agreement needs changing fast.
The judgment has pointed out many clauses which should be amended, but this will be difficult to repair. I do not think this can be fixed quickly, but it is the first time something has been done about mass surveillance. So far, we had angry letters or statements, but nothing substantial.
Well, the European Commission says it is now working with the US authorities to try and find a solution. Jennifer Baker, EU correspondent for The Register, a tech magazine in Brussels, told me more about why the Safe Harbour Agreement was set up in the first place.
The agreement came about to sort out the discrepancies between US and EU data protection law. So the general understanding is that EU data protection law is much safer, it's much more protections for normal citizens, and the US therefore doesn't meet the adequacy standards that are required before companies can transfer personal data of EU citizens outside the EU to third countries. So to get around this problem, because of course there's so much trade between the EU and the US, the European Commission and the US authorities came up with this scheme that is called the Safe Harbour Framework. Now, it's not a trade deal, it's not a legally binding instrument, it is simply a voluntary agreement. It's a set of guidelines that US companies sign up to and promise to enforce to take care of European citizens' data. At the moment, about 4,400 companies have signed up.
However, privacy campaigner Max Schrems from Austria has put a bit of a spanner in the works, hasn't he? He thinks that there are plenty of things wrong with this agreement, doesn't he?
He does indeed. He complained to the Irish Data Protection Commissioner about Facebook because Facebook is headquartered in Ireland for the purposes of its European operations. And the reason he complained is that following the Edward Snowden revelations, he said, look, there's this NSA prison scheme and perhaps my data has been handed over to the NSA by Facebook. They don't, you know, they've used the Safe Harbour Agreement as saying that they will protect my data, but US authorities and agencies like the NSA are exempt. So he complained that as a European citizen, he's Austrian, that his data protection rights had been breached by Facebook. The Irish authority refused to investigate his complaint because they said Facebook has signed up to Safe Harbour. But he then went to the Irish High Court saying, this is wrong, I want my complaint investigated. And the Irish High Court then referred the case to the ECJ, and that's where we've wound up today.
So what does this ECJ ruling mean for business now? Because effectively they say that the Safe Harbour Agreement does not adequately protect user data.
What it does mean for businesses is a little bit up in the air at the moment. We don't know exactly. Certainly many of them will be panicking today, but things will probably calm down. There are other methods that companies can use if they want to transfer data. There are things like model clauses or binding corporate rules or consent agreements. But the likes of Facebook and Google and Amazon and eBay and all these companies that we're hearing about today, it's probably not such a big headache for them because they've got massive legal teams. They will find out a way to continue to transfer data. Or their alternative is they set up data servers and operate data localization by keeping the data and processing the data within the EU. The people who are really going to be caught are those smallish, medium-sized enterprises from the US that do legitimately need personal data from EU customers, but now have no longer any way of saying that they can safeguard that in line with EU citizens' rights.
And what types of companies would that include?
Well, that can include anyone. I mean, personal data is any data that is private and personal and can be used to identify you. I mean, some of these are obviously absolutely essential to carrying out a transaction. If you want a parcel delivered, they have to know your address, for example. That sort of thing is essential, and this is why we had the Safe Harbour Agreement, because if you cut off that sort of data transfer, you are effectively cutting off trade.
Well, that was Jennifer Baker, EU correspondent for The Register. So did these people in London care about whether their data is transferred to companies in America?
I think it's already too late. I suspect that anything you put online is already very likely to be easily moved around the world. I suspect that any explicit discussions about what may or may not be sent between governments doesn't really matter because the data will be moved anyway. There's nothing safe online, ultimately. The only hope you have is being lost in the crowds that no one wants to be bothered to look at your data.
I don't like it, personally. I think it's a bit of a breach of privacy. I think there should be a different tactic to do it, because I don't want to be thinking about other people seeing my WhatsApps and Facebook messages. Yeah, I don't like it.
I think it's absolutely fine for as long as the people who are handling your data have benign intentions. And it's very easy to say in the current climate that they're going to use our data for the common good, for the collective good, but we all know how quickly things can change. I think on balance, it's my information, it doesn't belong to the government.
Well, Dan Castro is Vice President of the US Information Technology and Innovation Foundation. He told me the ruling will make business extremely tricky for transatlantic tech firms.
Well, this ruling is very disruptive to, you know, global digital commerce. What we've seen over the past 15 years since the Safe Harbor was created is this framework has allowed global companies to expand and move data across borders to basically engage in business. And this ruling, you know, fundamentally strikes at the heart of how businesses operate today, where they're pulling data in from suppliers and customers and employees all across the world. And this ruling says you can't really do that anymore.
What will it mean for those huge data factories, the cloud computing we've all heard so much about? How might they have to change the way they do business?
Well, right now, most companies can operate by not really thinking about what country they're storing their data in. This ruling would start to shift things around, where countries are going to have to pay a lot of attention to where they build data centers, and where they are actually hosting the data physically is going to matter for what rules apply. And the reason that's so disruptive is because, you know, you can't have countries that have operations or facilities in more than one country now bringing that data together for analysis or for other types of uses. So they're going to have to start building more data centers, you know, keep the data stored in different locations and not really put it to use.
Perhaps a different agreement should have been reached 15 years ago to take into account human rights more than the rights to do trade for businesses.
Well, the point of the agreement 15 years ago was to say that the United States and Europe took different approaches to privacy, but they both valued it. And so the point of the agreement was to say, even in countries that don't have the exact same rules, can you have the same type of commitments that are on par with what you have in Europe? And is there an enforcement agency that will take action if companies in these other countries deviate from those rules? And so that's what the Safe Harbor commitment was all about. So I would argue that it's not the companies that have deviated from the rules, it's the United States government that has made the rules not as strong as people want. And so the reform should be to have the United States, you know, clarify and curb some of those practices that people are concerned about.
Do you think some European citizens are worrying too much about the way their data could potentially be used?
No, I think it's appropriate that Europeans are concerned about how their data is used. I think the problem that we've seen is there hasn't been enough people worried about their data not being used for ways that they would like. And what I mean by that is it's not enough that we just make sure people's data is safe. It's also important that we ensure that people's data is being used to create value for them. So there's tons of research, for example, going on right now about how we use people's data to improve healthcare. And this type of ruling that limits data sharing, collection, and use just strikes at all of this type of innovation we're seeing right now. And so we need to have a balanced conversation where it's not only about protecting privacy, but it's about protecting privacy, but also making sure we can still innovate with data.
Well, that was Dan Castro, Vice President of the US Information Technology and Innovation Foundation.